Hello, this is Chris Nelson from evolveconsciousness.org. I'll be reading an article published on the 12th of October 2014 entitled Falsity and Evil. And this is a continuation of my analysis on good and evil, falsity and truth. The previous one was knowledge, memories, and evil. I forget. Let's see. Yeah, knowledge, memories, and evil. And the previous one before that was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So the content for this article is falsity tramples on truth, evil stains the good, deduction and induction, abdication and participation, alchemical divorce and union, and the last one, purpose and time. There are two main paths in life with variations in degrees and grades. These paths are of good and evil. Some people are fooled into believing in a, quote, middle way of living both paths of doing both good and evil. So as I mentioned in the previous article, little rant on that aspect, and so there is a valid middle way, and that would be an alchemical union of things that need to be unified as opposed to being played off each other. So truth and falsity never unify. Good and evil never unify. Right and wrong never unify. They are all one way. The accurate understanding about the non-duality middle way joining the two paths, etc., is in the knowledge of the two paths, which I mentioned in knowledge, memory, and evil. It's about knowledge. So good doesn't exist without evil in terms of the knowledge of the good. Because if you don't have evil, then you don't have a comparative dualistic framework set up, and you can't really understand good. It'll just be the default state will be good. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's innocence. That's why the tree of knowledge and the fruit, forbidden fruit, innocence, they lost their innocence. It's all in that the allegorical symbolism of that little story in the Garden of Eden. And again, the middle way, the balance. It's not a balance between good and evil in action. It's a balance between good and evil in knowledge that is required. So I'll just reread the sentence. The accurate understanding about the non-duality middle way joining the two paths, etc., is in the knowledge of the two paths, not in the actualization and realization of evil into our being to manifest it into reality. Conscious awareness is what is required from both paths, in the form of knowledge and understanding of evil, not in the form of acting evil out. That would not be wisdom of right action. That would be the foolishness of wrong action. So here I have two links. One is to the little article, little post on the wisdom of right action and how wisdom is represented through action. So it's always about right action and not just simply knowledge and understanding in your mind. You might have understanding of wisdom, but until you actualize it and act upon it, then it's not really wisdom. It's merely understanding of wisdom, but it's not wisdom itself. Because it has to do with action. And then you have foolishness of wrong action, and there I link to my Care for Truth infographic. To continue, good and evil must be affirmed in knowledge and understanding, but only good is to be affirmed in action. So you see the difference? Evil is to be negated in action. So good and evil together is to be affirmed in knowledge. It's about knowing them in knowledge and understanding, not in wisdom. You do not engage in actions of evil. The wisdom part is engaging only in the good. You have to know and understand the good and the evil, but only act in the capacity of the good. To affirm the good in action while affirming the good and evil in knowledge and understanding. And that's affirming it in action is the wisdom part. And if you affirm, and if you fail to only limit evil to knowledge and understanding, and you actualize it in your life, then you're going down not wisdom, you're going down foolishness of wrong action. You're affirming evil in action when we're supposed to be negating evil in action. Very important distinction. Knowledge of evil, knowledge of the false path and way, is apophatic negation of what is good. So by knowing what is not good, the apophatic way of knowing what is evil, knowledge of the false way, path and way, is a negation of what is good. And so you learn what is wrong, which is a negation of good. By learning of the evil, we can come to know the good. And the knowledge of good, knowledge of the true path and way, is the cataphatic affirmation of what is good. So the first part, it's not a negation, it's not an apophatic negation of what is good in terms of don't do what is good. It's going through an apophatic negation of the good in order to know the evil. And that's the path of the false way, knowledge of the false path and way. It might be confusing in language, so that's why I'm just elaborating upon it. And the cataphatic affirmation of what is good is the knowledge of the good. Versus if you have the apophatic negation, knowledge of the good is actually knowledge of evil. So the cataphatic affirmation of the true path and way is learning of the good, you come to know the evil as well. If we choose not to learn evil directly or indirectly through the good, then we will be ignorant of the evil because it is present in us, around us in our world, in our reality. So if you don't have the cataphatic affirmation of what is good and you don't have apophatic negation of what is good, you don't have an ability, if evil isn't existing, then you can't use the apophatic negation of good. And if evil isn't existing, then you're nescient of evil and probably nescient of good. Those terms don't exist because they exist as a comparative framework of X and less of X, or X and minus X, if we just look at variables. And in such a case where you wouldn't be aware of minus X, then you wouldn't be aware of X itself either. At least that's the way I see it in terms of the innocence, where you don't know the knowledge of good and evil, and you're just in good by default because there's no evil around for you to perpetuate or to create or to mimic, etc. So to continue, if no evil existed, then no good will... If no good existed, then good would be the default state, and nescience of evil would be the result along with innocence. So I've explained this in the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil and in the previous one on knowledge, memories, and evil, and I just finished explaining it now before I read this sentence. To continue, in our case, there is evil, and there is a price to pay for ignoring the forms of evil that are manifesting. Evil continues, perpetuates, and grows. So if there is evil, you have a responsibility to know evil. Otherwise, you are by default, de facto, ignoring evil by your own choice. At some point, we need to stop wanting to be a child of innocence and ignorance with little responsibility in a world where evil is growing, and instead choose to learn about the evil that exists and do something about it. Failure to do so will enable evil, which is the ongoing situation. So we want to pretend like we're innocent children and we don't need to know about evil. Oh yeah, we don't need to learn about good and evil. We're just going to be pure innocent children. No, we're not indoctrinated. We're not conditioned. We're not socially engineered. Nah, forget about that. Just be ignorant and be an innocent child and continue to let evil perpetuate. Yes. Go ahead, New Agers. Have fun with that. Some people think, quote, pure-hearted, quote, optimistic, and quote, positive, ignorant people are more required than realistic, informed people that can see the occulted aspects of reality we are veiled from perceiving. They think that the world would be a heaven if only people were happy, kind, and didn't offend others. This is the emotional, mind-controlled, pseudo-spiritualist, New Ager frauds that are perpetuating everywhere as though they have any conception of what true spirituality is. Well, that's all we need. You just need to be a pure heart and optimistic and positive. Right. To continue, these people have no conception of the current reality and want to conduct themselves in this reality as though evil were not even present. So they just want to ignore evil in the presence in this world and conduct themselves as if it was not even existing. Let alone them creating it themselves through their own ignorance. God forbid they would actually have to face the fucking mirror. Sorry for the swearing. Sometimes it just pops out because I get just so frustrated and pissed off at the ignorance of people. Like I've mentioned before, the only thing that made me change and stop engaging in my evil was to be harsh on myself, to tell myself the hard truth. Like, you are participating in creating a piece of shit world, so stop being a coward and do what you know you need to do. That's what I told myself to become vegan, and it worked. And that is what I tell other people in so many words in different ways. I tell them they're cowards. I tell them they can't face themselves in the mirror. I tell them they don't have a true care for truth and morality. That's not, they don't care, they just keep rejecting it. Well, that's what, when I told that to myself, and I kicked myself in the ass, that's what made me move. Not all this bullshit optimism and how great you are and how wonderful and you're so fucking special. And everything's great, and be kind, and don't offend, and don't say harsh things, don't create conflict, don't create tension, keep the peace, go with the flow, don't rock the boat, don't make waves. Yeah, well, read my article, Truth is Love, and you'll understand how speaking the truth, as it is what is required, and that is the purest form of love there is to speak it as it is. Compassion isn't watering down truth and using euphemisms to mask and cloud it. Compassion is about bearing good and evil so that you can feel what is happening in reality, and then you can express reality as it is. People don't even understand what compassion is. That's why I finally said, okay, I'm going to do an etymological analysis on compassion, sympathy, and empathy, and figure out why these root words have the same root, passion and pathos, and how it relates and what it really means in life. And it has to do with our ability to bear, to endure the suffering. Because when you're going to ignore reality, well, you're not going to have compassion. You're going to be callous. You're going to be apathetic because you're ignoring reality. You're unaware of the suffering. And you're going to be completely focused on yourself in a overtly satanic mindset of my survival, my freedom, and my truth. And as I mentioned in the last audio, we're still, most of us, is satanic, even though we think we aren't. Whenever you focus on not the most root causal factor that you can that embodies the most aspects of universal care, true care for truth, morality, and other beings, if you are not targeting those root causal factors, then you are still in an aspect of Satanism regarding my survival and my truth because you're not going deep enough to the hard shit that needs to be tackled. So yeah, people might want to object to that and think that because they've been doing research for 10 years and 20 years or however many years and more than me, that means they understand more than me. Well, guess what? I'm expressing things that I understand that you're not able to understand, so I don't give a shit how long you've been researching anything. If you can't go deep enough to embody in yourself the actions of going to the deepest root causal factors that you can, then you're still living in aspects of Satanism, of my survival, my freedom, and my truth. That is Satanism, as I define it, because it takes the tenets of Satanism, it's all about self-preservation and survival, so aspects of that are still about, it's all about me, as I've explained. When you target human enslavement and not all enslavement, then you're only focusing on the human sphere because it relates only to you and your freedom, your survival, and that's your truth that you want to focus on. It's not the truth that I'm speaking about universally, all beings. I didn't mention this before, but I don't want to go through gradualism for more thousands of years. I will wait out, and I will endure more suffering, and let's bring on more pain, let's bring on more chaos. Rather than one step forward, two step back, we get these gradualisms, these partial wins that convince us we're doing something with our time, we're taking action, because people want the quick fix of the novelty, the new thing. They want new things to change and things to happen. They don't want to be patient. They don't want to hold. They don't want to look at things deeper, look at the current condition to the root causal factors, the depth of reality required in order to effectuate a real positive lasting change into true freedom and peace. People don't want to do that. The quick fix. So they don't want to go for the harder, deeper in-group versus out-group aspect of creating evil and suffering and domination and predation into the world. No, no, we'll just do the human sphere because that's what's most important to affect me. Going into the animal sphere, well, no, that's not as important. Oh, people aren't ready for that yet. Yeah, people aren't ready to face the overt, in-your-face, everyday evil participation that you're in. Yeah, yeah, let's focus on the occulted aspect that they're not directly involved with, that they're not directly participating in. It's not invaluable. It's very valuable to learn about all these occulted aspects. But let's start with the thing right in front of our eyes that is participating in over 50 billion murders a year. Are there other cases every year where there's 50 billion human animals being murdered by humans? No. So get out of your selfish human sphere and get into the all animal sphere and look at the wrongs that you do to others who do you no wrong, which is natural law level 1 violation. And then you can look at your human sphere and how you inflict suffering on yourself and how you imprison yourself and enslave yourself. And that's doing self-harm, natural law level 2. So which one is more important to end? All you need is logic. Level 1, harm to others that did you no harm, and that's all the animals that we're harming, is a more egregious violation of 50 billions, even more billions in the water animals, murdering billions and billions of animals, but hey, that doesn't matter because I'm focused on my survival and my freedom of the human sphere, so I'm only going to target human suffering and human evil and how we enslave ourselves. What I'm saying is I'm ready to let that keep going until we can actually face the mirror and go down to the root causal factors and then fix things right from the start where it needs to be, rather than keep progressing things into the future by ignoring the deep root causal factors that, if corrected, would cascade and automatically disintegrate the secondary constructs that are based upon that flawed foundational axiom. So you correct the first in-group, out-group, speciesism divide, and that's the overt thing that we're currently ignoring, that even the people that look into the covert, occulted aspects of reality still ignore the animal issue. So they're looking into the hidden stuff, but they still can't see what's right in front of their eyes. So clearly there's a problem in how we go through information and talk about morality. The thing that's right in front of our eyes, people don't want to accept it. They'll accept the government evil, they'll accept police and military and authority and enslavement. But when it comes to what they are doing to other beings, they don't want to accept it. And you think those people are going to create a future of true freedom and peace? Ha ha ha! I laugh at you and your efforts to only target the human sphere. You don't understand. You think people who are only targeting the human sphere and don't give a shit about agape, universal care, care for truth, morality, and other beings, you think those people who are still conditioned into Satanism, into aspects of deep mind control, and an inability to face themselves in the mirror honestly, you actually think those people will create true freedom and peace? And that's who you're targeting? That we need to get people on this one little page of a secondary construct rather than going for the deep root causal core foundational factor of the initial us versus them separation, disease, disconnection, mindset of predatory domination, psychopathy? Do you honestly think that these people will create true freedom and peace by only targeting the human sphere? Well, I laugh at you. They're so conditioned Still, they still don't care for truth and morality deeply enough. They cannot create true freedom and peace. Left hand doing evil, right hand doing good, never creates true freedom and peace. So that's why we have to get to that moral baseline and understand objectively what morality really is. And it has to do with both your left and your right hand doing actions. They got to be unified. You can't have, oh well, I'm going to have half of myself doing good and half of myself doing evil. That's called a divided being, a dual being, conflicted, oppositional, adversarial, Shaitan, Satan force within you. That's the force of evil within you. But you don't want to face yourself in the mirror and recognize that you can't do an action, the same action, and not do it to one animal called humans, and then do that action to others. I'm not going to slit people's throats. I'm not going to slit human animals' throats. But I'm going to pay other people to slit pig throats and cow throats and chicken throats. And that's okay. I'm a wholly integrated, united, sovereign, self-dominion, self-governed, self-actualized, self-realized, united with truth and morality. Right. Keep lying to yourself in your divided, dualistic, ignorant, confused state in apathy for the depth of truth and morality required to actually create true freedom and peace. All right. I think that's enough of a rant there on what I view as people's inability to understand the depth of morality. And that's why my one true divide is care for truth. The initial care for truth. And then when you're proposed with the issue of the animal issue, because you actually care for truth and morality, you won't just dismiss it. You'll actually investigate it. Even if you don't want to accept it, you're going to look into it to make sure whether it's true or not, because you care to be right, or else you're going to go wrong. And you care for truth, or else you're going to face the consequences. So anytime there's an aspect of immorality, evil, wrong, demon shadow darkness within you, or that is brought to light that might be within you, you have a responsibility to verify, is this true? And that's what I did. I didn't reject the animal immorality issue. The first time I heard it was in podcast number 36, where Mark Passio said, all beings, in regards to natural law. And right there, it clicked for me what all beings meant. Not just humans. All right, so I'll continue. So those people have no conception of the current reality. They want to conduct themselves in this reality as though evil were not present. They want to ignore their responsibility like a child. This is a severe right brain imbalance of attachment to feeling good, positive outlook on everything going on, with little wrong or evil occurring for them to be concerned about. That is, as long as it isn't directly affecting their personal convenience. And I've mentioned this before, as long as it's not affecting you, people don't stand in truth and don't care. You know, oh, someone got punished, oh, someone's lying. You know, someone in your family's a liar and they're creating conflict. Well, other people don't want to get involved. That's not my problem. I don't want to stand with you in truth and morality. No. Screw off. Leave me alone. And then when I have a problem, well, then I'm going to complain and whine and moan and gossip and oh, where's my help? How come you're not standing with me in truth and morality? Well, that's because we're all fucking cowards who don't stand in truth and morality with each other to begin with. No one stands for you. You don't stand for them. You don't stand for them in truth and morality. No one stands for you in truth and morality. We're all a bunch of pathetic Satanist cowards, narcissistic retards trapped in the pleasure trap. We just focus on ourselves. We care about truth and morality when we're affected in our personal convenience, but when it's other people, well, then it becomes a personal inconvenience for us to stand in truth and morality with other people. Because then we're going to stand with truth and morality with other people standing in truth and morality, and that creates an inherent conflict and controversy, tension, pressure, interference with those that are standing in falsity, which we weren't making a position upon. We were just ignoring them and letting one person standing in truth go against one person standing in falsity. But then when we get involved, oh, then it's a 2-1. Then it's like, oh, well, you're taking sides, and no, you don't like me. No, you don't like yourself. You're attached to falsity, and you won't let go. That's where all the carnists are at. They're in self-loathing. They're not looking at themselves. They don't have true self-respect. They're not gaining true self-knowledge, because self-knowledge is morality. And I have a note on that, just a second. I'll just read it here. Self-knowledge is moral knowledge, the knowledge of the way and path of truth and morality, the knowledge of true self. So self-knowledge is moral knowledge. So when people refuse to objectively discern morality objectively, they refuse to go into the depth of discerning what objective morality is, so they stay in their lack of self-respect, lack of self-knowledge. They're not looking at themselves honestly to see if they're actually in embodiments of evil and falsity and immorality. So there's no self-knowledge because they're not self-respecting themselves. That's because they don't have self-love. You have to value yourself in worth enough to handle facing yourself in the mirror and how corrupted and how much of a piece of shit you are in creating the piece of shit world we have. Take self-love to heal past that. Because if you're not able to admit to yourself where you're wrong, you don't have true self-respect, and you're not going to gain self-knowledge, and you're not going to develop self-love. You're not going to overcome your poisoned, diseased heart condition, your deadened heart. You need to heal, and you need to feel, at certain times, the shame and the guilt that you've created yourself. The shame, the guilt, the offense, the insult, the judgment, you all do it to yourself by your own actions. Did I make you do those actions? No. But I'm finally someone who's able to smack you in the face with the hard truth and trying to get you to face yourself in the mirror. And if you just want to keep dismissing, denying, deflecting, refusing, and just rejecting it all, because I'm harsh, and I'm mean, and I'm not compassionate, and I'm unkind, and all this other bullshit, and oh, I'm offensive, and I'm a militant with my truth. I don't give a shit. Go whine to your mommy, go cry in the little, go get your little milk bottle and cry in your little Kleenex and have fun with that. When you actually learn to care for truth and morality to the depth required, then you'll actually be able to face yourself in the mirror and be able to tell yourself, I'm wrong, I'm actually being a piece of shit. And then you'll actually be able to develop the courage instead of the cowardice. And then from that courage, you can drive yourself with that strength of courage to the willpower required to change yourself. To continue, wider true care is not present in them. Yet they tell themselves they are full of love and light, as if that will make a difference at all. People just believe whatever they want. Tell yourself whatever you want, feel good, create a delusional self-image, worldview, ego personality, identity construct, and then just live in that freaking self-delusional state you've created. Continuing, believing whatever we want locks us in delusions of fantasy that prevent us from affecting reality effectively. So you want to believe whatever you want? You don't care about truth? You don't care about evaluating all your beliefs, everything you currently accept that you've been indoctrinated and conditioned into? Now that you understand how to discern truth and the importance of caring for truth and morality, you don't want to reevaluate everything? You don't want to unlearn what you've learned? You don't want to empty your cup to refill it properly? Well, then keep living in a delusional fantasy and perpetuate evil, immorality, and wrong into the stagnation and entropy of your own self-destruction, if not your descendants down the line in a few years, decades, centuries, whatever. Eventually, that's what it leads to. So when you're in your false self, your free will to create in that positive alignment with our true being, our true self, truth, love, good, right, morality, natural law, well, that's diminished because you're in the false self and you don't have the willpower activated. Because the willpower activates as you gain true care and evolve consciousness. Those things are related. True care, consciousness, the self, and free will are all related. In terms of color symbolism, those I would put in green. When I say the external and internal aspects are red and blue respectively, but the free will and the care part themselves, I would categorize as green, as the real generative part, not the emotions as the generator, not the internal aspect as the generator, all of it as the, you know, the internal is part of the generating. It's the causal force that generates the external manifestations, but specifically the things that drive us, which is the evolution in consciousness through the expansion of consciousness as the force of love, as opposed to the force of fear for truth, which constricts it. So you care for truth and morality, and that expands and evolves your consciousness, and this develops your free will capacity to self-actualize, self-individualize, and self-realize yourself as the true self in greater degrees of embodiment. Alright, I'll continue here. Our construction of secondary perceptual reality is based on the available input from our experience. If we lack certain input of aspects of existence, then we will be ignorant of them and powerless to their influence. Evil in its various manifested forms need to be known. So that was just the introduction. Wow. That was four paragraphs, but it took me a half hour because I went on a lot of rants on tangent related topics. Okay, so the section, falsity tramples on truth, evil stains the good. In a conjunction of proposition value table, which I have listed below, where you have the different rules of propositions. So you'd have where X and Y symbolize a proposition. One symbolizes truth, zero falsity, and N probability. So the point is, well, I'll get to the point as I read. So in this proposition conjunction table, we can see how even one part of active engagement in falsity and wrong, represented by zero, is overriding its binary opposite, the truth and right, with the value one. The law of correspondence can be applied to this understanding in grammar and logic towards how good and evil work as well. Grammar and logic are tools used to represent and navigate reality. These tools can be used to discern and describe good and evil that can be recognized in reality. Everything is interconnected and correlates. When we build constructs in the metaphysical reality, that is, the imaginal mind realm, the subjective reality, just as it is in the physical reality, we must build with an integrated foundation to ensure its stability, soundness, veracity, etc. The correlation between various aspects of reality allows them the possibility to be integrated with each other. That is, if their constituent elements and components are capable of being coordinated into a relation properly. So I'm saying you can't just blindly apply correspondence. And I've talked about this in other audios. There's way too much of that going on. There's blind correspondence applied. No, there's specifics where it applies. It doesn't apply everywhere. We cannot simply coerce and violently force a false blind unity or oneness. Those things that can be integrated will integrate of their own harmony and unity with each other because they are actually of the same force and polarity and capable of harmonizing. Truth does not harmonize with falsity. Good does not harmonize with evil. Truth is trampled by falsity. Good is stained by evil. So you could have, if you have a proposition with 1,000 premises, and your proposition is based on those 1,000 premises, and one of the premises is false, then there's a chance that your conclusion, your proposition, is false. So you have to reevaluate your premise without that false proposition and see if it still holds true, and it very well could. But when you're dealing with the propositions of two things, well, I guess that's the same thing as the premise. No, the premise. Anyways, when you combine aspects of reality and you mistakenly put a falsity in there, it taints your whole truth and your whole understanding of good. And if you don't remove it, well, then your conclusion of the two joined together, of X and Y together, well, they won't be mergeable, because truth does not merge with falsity. So whatever you conclude based on those two things joining together will be a false conclusion, because you're concluding things based on a truth and a falsity. You're trying to merge them together, and you're trying to arrive at a truth, and that's impossible. What you're going to arrive at is a falsity. So it doesn't matter if you have one truth and one falsity, if you have 10 truths and one falsity. If you use the 10 truths and the one falsity to arrive at a conclusion, you're going to arrive at a false conclusion in some respect, because you used an aspect of falsity in it. And this is why it's supremely important to engage in the apophatic negative pathway, to acknowledge what is good, to acknowledge what is evil and immoral and wrong, and then we can work to remove it from ourselves. Because so long as an aspect of your being, who you are, has an aspect of falsity within it, then your being will be false. You will be living as a false self, living falsely, because you have an aspect of falsity in you and you're creating falsely. So in our current system, we're not able to do this. Anyone who tells you they're purely aligned and everything, they don't have falsity in them, and they're already aligned with natural law, well, that's false. They don't understand natural law properly. They don't understand how things work in degrees, and we're always trying to better ourselves and perfect ourselves. And also in the next article is falsity and evil, addendum on neutrality, in regards to systems and neutrality within a system. And even if you think you've removed yourself, so long as you are participating within a certain system that creates evil and perpetuates evil, just by de facto fact that you are participating within that system means that you are perpetuating the evil in some form. As the system we live in, we cannot completely remove ourselves from it. So even though we remove ourselves from harm in the greatest capacity we can, which is the point of veganism, at least in regards to animals, I take it beyond, you're supposed to go beyond veganism, and you're supposed to embody the principle of ahimsa, of do no harm in all aspects, not simply animals. So you're trying to reduce your harm in all ways. So yes, that involves more of a minimalist lifestyle, so that you use less resources, you're using less need for transportation, less use for mining of resources and raping the planet. That's what minimalism is about. It's also about reducing the useless complexity, or the distractive complexities, and the things that you don't really need but are more for comfort and convenience. You get rid of those things, and then you reduce your impact of exploitation on the planet. So no, you can never remove your harm completely. Maybe at some point when we completely change the way society functions in order to align with the path and the way of truth and morality, and then progressively embody it to a possible point of perfection and whatever in the future. I don't know. It's possible, but I don't know. And I don't care, honestly. Not right now. I'm here, I'm not there. When people get to that point, well, they can worry about, oh, well, we have nothing to do, we've perfected ourselves, and everything's perfect and in harmony. Maybe there's an ascension. Maybe you become a pure energy being, whatever. Doesn't matter to me. That's fantasy as far as I'm concerned. Even though it's a possibility, I can't say it's not possible. But I can't say it's going to happen. It's just, who cares? Worry about that when it happens. Right now, worry about removing evil so that you can even possibly get to that position 1,000 years or a few hundred years or whatever years from now, where we can actually live in true freedom and peace, where we're in the Garden of Eden, and possibly create that state of innocence where we're not even creating evil, because there's no evil around to mimic creating evil. All right, to continue. So here I have the table, and I'll quote page 108 from the Trivium, the book by Sister Miriam Joseph. A statement is to be marked true only when every part of it is true. It is to be marked false when any part of it is false. And this is the power of the negative in our reality, and the power of evil in our reality. So this is logic. Now, I've already explained in my language and reality how logic is a foundational law of the universe. Without logic, universe does not exist. Because there's no law of excluded middle, and there's no law of identity. If there's no identity and no logic, everything is the same, because there's no non-contradiction. Everything is one. So logic would still apply, but you'd have no identity. You'd have just one thing. There's no contradiction, it's just one thing, right? So you'd still have non-contradiction, but you need identity, which is an aspect of logic, which is non-contradiction from identity. Because in identity, you have different things. You have diversity, multiplicity, and variability of the existence of the universe and reality. So when you have many things, there's different identities, and logic is in play in that respect. So logic is supremely important. It's a fundamental law of our existence. And failure to understand logic properly will mean a failure to understand reality properly. So this is why I'm still a Satanist in part, not as much as other people. I still have aspects of doing harm, of doing falsity, of doing evil. I'm not perfect. I never claim to be perfect. I don't claim to be good. I don't claim to be spiritual. I can claim to embody aspects of goodness, and as a result, that's aspects of morality, aspects of truth, love, good, right, morality, natural law, and hence aspects of the true self, higher will. You don't ever embody it fully. You only embody partial aspects as you discover them and choose to embrace. So care for truth, four levels. Seek it, truth and morality. Embrace truth and morality. Align and embody with truth and morality so that you live it in your life. And then level four, teach it, preach it, and share it so that other people do what you did. That way, evil and immorality and the wrong will all dissipate. And it's all up to each one of our personal responsibilities to do so. So when you don't face the mirror, you don't have self-respect, you don't develop self-knowledge, you don't develop self-love, you stay in a fear of facing yourself and healing yourself. So you don't want to heal yourself. If you don't want to heal yourself, you don't really love yourself. So you don't have self-love. And then in the end, you don't have self-responsibility to end evil, remove the evil, and help others remove the evil. To continue, whenever you have falsity, it overrides the truth in the aggregate, and you have an overall false result in an attempt to combine something false with something true. You cannot create an aggregate truth from any component that is false. It stains the whole group in general. It is the same with right and wrong, good and evil. If you are looking at the aggregate karma, every piece counts. Every human counts here in terms of removing evil from this planet. And eventually, when we get to the aggregate number, that's why the force of speech turns into the force of physical force, where you can put down evil. Because you reach the numbers where you can say, you're either going to learn and you're going to stop, or we are going to stop you physically now because we have reached the numbers. Because if you're 1 versus 50 or versus 7 billion, well, guess what? When you tell the people to stop and you try to force them to stop, well, they're going to view your force as violence because they don't view what they're doing as immoral, and that your force is a rightful, just, righteousness act to stop someone engaging in a violation. They don't view it as a violation, so they view your rightful force as a violent act, and then they're going to kill you for it. But they're going to murder you because you didn't do anything wrong. But they don't understand the wrong. That's why if you're trying to act in confusion on people who are in confusion, what you're going to get is you're going to get burned at the stake and poisoned and all this shit. Just like in the past, we've had with people who've tried to speak truth and it couldn't be handled. This is what always happens. So we got to speak the truth to a point where we reach a critical mass, and then we can shift over to physical action and stop evil from being created. That is part of natural law. As a natural law, causal agent of reciprocity and redress, that is our eventual responsibility we are heading to. Right now, we're only partially in the sacred masculine of speech. It's an action to stand up for truth and speak it. We don't have the numbers to act physically to stand for truth and stop the violation of the sacred feminine, of stomping on doing no harm, of crushing non-violence, non-aggression. So eventually we will have to stand up as natural law causal agents in our ability to embody our true self and defend, stand for truth and morality, to stand for it, service it, and sacrifice ourselves in order to make it happen. You know, apart from the personal sacrifice that a few of us are doing to give of our, you know, stupid personal lives and actually do what needs to be done in order to create this planet, because imagine if everyone was doing this. Imagine if everyone was say, okay, I'm going to sacrifice my personal life. I'm not going to focus on the pleasure trap. Well, first you got to learn about what the pleasure trap is in order to remove yourself and work yourself to heal away from the pleasure trap, which I've done a pretty good job in my life from where I was. Wow, what a drastic change. And so you have to learn about these things, and then you can evolve past them. So that's how all of us matter, and how we need to look into evil, and how we need to change things, so that eventually the aggregate karma of every piece counting, we can actually shift it. We might not even need to use physical force, because by that time, the critical mass, there's a psychological effect of peer pressure, which is why we're in the position we're in right now also, and which is why we prevent ourselves from getting past our barriers, is the collective pressure. So once the majority is in alignment with truth and morality, the collective pressure will shift from collective pressure into acceptance of the current condition of falsity and wrong and immorality, towards the collective pressure of accepting the new model of truth and morality. To continue, if you are engaging in some good, having stopped some wrongs, but are still engaging in other wrongs that you can stop, then you are still doing wrong, and the aggregate totality of you will be tainted by these wrongs to prevent you from being and living more in right, in truth, in good, whole, integrated, united, consistent, congruent. It works the same in society in the larger karmic picture. The only time you get a true result is when all your components are true. So guess what? True freedom and peace on the planet is only going to happen when all of us understand what it takes to create true freedom and peace. And it's not doing evil with the left hand while we do evil with the right hand. We got to get to those moral baselines and clean ourselves up from the base so that we can create a new system that actually is founded in truth and morality, rather than keep trying to work against the current system and trying to change things within it. We need to focus on ourselves, remove ourselves from evil, and then we can create the new as an actualization of the external expression of ourselves, of the being that we've actualized and realized in alignment with truth, love, good, right, morality, natural law. So the only time you get a true result is when all the components are true. The aggregate is a function of the units. So it's all up to each one of us. That's why we need to share and preach and teach. Until we get all the parts right, we won't see the lasting results we want. This shows us how much work we have to do personally and collectively, of how few people are even interested in doing this work to create true freedom and peace, true unity, true morality. And people don't even understand how to do it. Some of them are interested, but they don't even understand. They think they're doing it. Oh yeah, only humans. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're going to create true freedom and peace that way. Mm-hmm. Left hand evil, right hand good. Yeah, that's a whole united individual. Right. Keep lying to yourself, fools. To continue, it's like all the elite frauds of society with their philanthropy and charities. These are all false appearances with a substance of wrongdoing. With a public right hand, they do acts of apparent good in the light of day, and with the hidden left hand, they do evil in the dark of night. People fall for these charades. Even if they knew what was going on, they would probably ignore the evil and look at only the good, justifying its existence. So they'd say, oh, that's only a bit, that's only the few bad apples. Keep sending them money. Yeah, keep giving money to philanthropy and charity because they're good people. They're doing so much good. In order for truth to actualize in the aggregate in greater degrees, falsity must be removed. if evil is present and ignored, good will be prevented from fulfilling its potential. It's like, unlearn, empty the cup. What do you think that's about? You cannot actualize yourself, realize and individuate yourself in alignment with natural moral law and truth while you are still attached to falsity, immorality, and evil, while you're still ignorant to those things. So if evil is present and ignored, because you're choosing to continue to ignore it, then you will not be able to fulfill your infinite potential and value to actualize and realize truth, love, good, right, morality, natural law, higher self, true self, higher will, etc. Admitting wrong, admitting how much of a shit and fool you are, is necessary for you to heal. Oh, you don't like hearing that you're a piece of shit? You can't tell yourself that you're a piece of shit for doing evil? Well, continue to be a weak coward. Like I said, that's what it took for me. Kick myself in the ass, because there's sure as hell no one that's going to do it for me. There's no one that's going to do it for you. Oh, I try to do it for people. But they don't understand. They don't care to look. Oh, you're just insulting me. You're saying I have an undeveloped heart center and care and compassion and conscience and morality and empathy. Yeah, you do. But you don't ask me why this is so. You just ignore it and continue along your way and don't look into what conscience really means, what morality really means, what it really means to have a heart center developed, what it really means to have care developed and compassion and empathy. People don't even know the words they use. We're just being fed the conventions of society, impositions of meanings and definitions. We're not looking into meanings and definitions to see if they accurately reflect reality. We just accept things and go along with what we're told, and then we live in a false reality construct because the words used to represent our reality aren't even accurately representing it. So you got anarchy, oh, that's chaos. You got the occult, oh, there's evil again. You know, two things that help us see reality: look into the occult, the hidden. Seek anarchy, freedom, no masters, no slaves, no slavery, no authority. No, those things are bad. We're so mind-controlled. To continue. The removal of evil is required for the proper effect of real, lasting manifestations of goodness we created and added to our lives. Failure to remove evil will eat away at the good we create. The work we have to do is more about the removal of falsity and evil at first, while progressively increasing engagement in the work of ending the falsity in the aggregate reality we all co-create by helping others end their individual participation in falsity as well. Then we can manifest, individuate, actualize, and realize ourselves in goodness, in aspects of goodness, truth, and morality more fully, to the optimal potential we can reach, which we are currently prevented from being able to create. So again, your potential and value is limited because you limit yourself. You don't look at yourself in the mirror. You don't learn about yourself, the true self, morality, objective right and wrong, good and evil, truth and falsity. So you can't understand reality. You can't understand yourself. So you're full of false self, false information, falsities, and you can't accept contrary information to the falsity you accept as truth, because you're indoctrinated and blindly believing and have faith and trust in what you've been told. You don't think for yourself. You don't engage in critical thinking. You don't question. You don't doubt. You're not curious. So your potential and infinite value is never going to be progressively actualized in greater degrees of embodiment with truth, love, good, right, morality, natural law, true self, higher will, etc. It just isn't going to happen. So care for truth and morality, and you will find what is wrong, what is evil, the shadow, demon, dark, negative, immorality, then you can heal. Self-respect, like Mark Passio laid out, self-respect, self-love, self-knowledge, self-responsibility. The next section is deduction and induction. If you want a greater like chart between deduce and induce, induct and deduct, go take a look at, oh boy, Metaphysics, Language, and Reality, The Fundamentals of the Trivium Method. That's my presentation with a bunch of infographics regarding metaphysics and how to understand reality and language. And in there I have a chart which is probably 3 times longer than each section here in regards to deduce and induce, if you want more information. So deduce is subtract and take away. You take away particulars, you remove the clutter and look at specifics to identify something, such as a universal attribute. So you have your universal X, and then you're going to go down to the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, the particulars, to verify the general in the specifics, and that's the differentiation. But you're not going to look at all the particulars, you're going to differentiate only the particulars that you need to in order to verify if your universal X is true or not. So we remove irrelevant particulars to see the universal idea verified in the individual aspects. We apply a theory to specifics, the general to the particular. We draw conclusions from universals applied to particulars. If the universal is true for a general class, it is true for all members of the class. If the universal is false, the conclusion about the members may also be false. Induct is the opposite of subtract, it's to add. So instead of going from the universals down to the particulars, we're actually inducing universals, generals, we're imagining them, we're creating them, we're trying to see how all the things, the parts, fit together to create a general picture, a bigger picture. So we add particulars together, the sum of parts can show the bigger picture, that's going from A, B, C, D, E, F, G particulars to the X universal. The discovery of the general from the specifics, and that's an abstraction. And that's why human consciousness is an abstraction engine, where we pierce the veil of the particular physical aspects of matter that we see, and we try to look within them, to go behind them, to go beyond, behind them, yeah. And look through to the metaphysical aspects that we abstract universals from those particular aspects of reality that we see. We're abstracting and piercing the veil of physical matter of those particulars. We add relevant particulars to discover, imagine, conceive of a universal idea from them. Formulate a theory or hypothesis from specifics. A conclusion can be false even if premises are true, because you can have false induction. Just because you think of something doesn't mean it's true. You take a bunch of pieces of data of reality and you conclude in a general idea, it doesn't mean it's true. You need to verify, you need to go back to deduction and verify that universal conclusion and see if it's actually true by going back to the particulars, and that's the induction, deduction, grammar logic spiral, which I have presented in my language and reality presentation series. If it is true for some members of the class observed, it may not be true for all members. All true premises do not guarantee a true conclusion. So deduction is a taking away of specifics to verify the universals in particular things. Induction is adding specifics together to see the similarity and discover the general idea common to things. Similarly, in alchemy, we take away the false, the darkness, in order for the light of transcendental universal truth to shine through for us to grasp and bring into being, into more aspects of the existence and experience we live. The truth of the bigger picture understanding emerges as well. We induct from the individual particulars of reality to form ideas, then deduct from reality to verify if those ideas are present in reality logically, or if they are faulty generalizations on our own part, on our part from the inductive process. Then, with verification of the accuracy of the formulation of our idea, our concept, the universal we're trying to conceive of, we induct again from reality, this time with more falsity removed than truth discovered from the previous deductive phase, and we work to improve our understanding of universals once more. I should have put that in my metaphysics presentation. That was a good description. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Looking at the parts to find the whole can lack accuracy to describe the whole, as the whole is more than the parts. The limited number of parts can lead to a wrong description of the whole, as we try to add together things that are there, but may be adding them together incorrectly in induction. So you see, once you have your universal verified, it applies to every single aspect that relates to that universal. Whereas when you're trying to go from the particulars, but you don't know every single one, or you're only looking at a few and you're trying to create the universal, you might get a few things wrong and you need to go back and look at more particulars, more data points, more of the data set of reality in order to reevaluate and restructure your inducted universal and general conception in order to refine it and process it into a more accurate representation of reality. To continue, if we see, know the whole, we can dissect, divide, and reduce down to specific parts. It is much easier to do this and less prone to error as we take away from what is already there, deduction. The next section is abdication and participation. There are also related terms of abdication, withdraw, remove, extract, minus one, and participation, join, add, involve. So I'm getting into deduce and induce, abdication and participation, because this relates to good and evil, falsity and truth, because good is plus one, and falsity is minus, evil is minus one, truth is plus one, falsity is minus one. So when you look at deduction, well, that's a subtraction. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, and I'm not saying induction is a good thing. They're both good. You need deduction and induction in the process of learning. So this is why you can't blindly apply correspondences and say, oh, well, plus one is always good and minus one is always bad. Like when you take truth and falsity and good and evil and right and wrong. Well, here we apply it to deduction and induction. So if you're a blind moron who doesn't understand how to think properly and you take blind correspondence and analogy, well, then you're going to create pseudo-understandings of reality, false reality, unreality, and you're going to say, oh, well, induction is good, and deduction is bad, logic is bad, because it's separating, it's dividing. I've had similar things said to me in regards to logic, and now I can understand why people view this asinine way. Because for them, it's all about inducing new things. Your thoughts create reality. So whatever you want to think of, whatever general universal concept you want to think of, well, there you go, that's the truth. Because deduction's evil, it's subtraction, it's division, and we're stuck in bullshit, positivism bias, optimism bias, positivity mask, where, oh, well, it's all about oneness and unity, so we're all focused on blind unity and blind oneness and pseudo-unity and pseudo-oneness, because no one understands, hardly anyone understands what those things actually mean and how they organically develop as a result of your adherence to truth and morality by removing falsity and evil, by removing the immorality. It happens automatically, but people don't want to do the work. They're focusing on the end goal, and they're not looking at the means. They're not looking at the journey. They're just looking at the end. And they're dreaming. They're in fantasy land, inducting about that dream of the goal, the end, the universal they're working towards. And then they just ignore what's happening. They don't deal with the means properly. They don't deal with the journey properly. It's all, oh, well, it's all about oneness and unity. Yeah, well, you can't have that now. You're trying to create what's coming later, the goal. At the end, you're trying to create that now? And that's all you're focused on is unity and oneness? Well, I'm not. I understand what true unity is and true oneness is. And I think I've published a few notes recently If not, there's my 3-hour, 40-minute presentation on foundational living in true unity with 22, 23 infographics. And I might have some notes. I got a bunch of notes I haven't published, so I got to get on that at some point. All right, so let's just start this section here. Abdication and participation. So we got abdication, withdraw, remove, extract, -1, and participation, join, add, involve, +1. So abdicare is the Latin, and it's to disown, disavow, reject. Renounce, reject, disclaim, from ab, away, and dicar, proclaim, say, speak, to sort of speak away from. So you're abdicating. So when people abdicate their personal responsibility, they're going away from, they're disavowing, they're disowning, they're rejecting their personal